This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, February 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. For years, federal regulators have been considering how to enforce finance and trading rules with cryptocurrencies. Now, a lawsuit between the Securities and Exchange Commission and the creator of what was once the third largest digital currency will test just how far they can go. On today's show, our reporter Dave Michaels joins us to discuss the closely watched case and how players in crypto think they can use the verdict to their advantage. That's after these headlines. Microsoft's plan to buy the gaming giant Activision Blizzard is going to be getting a closer look by regulators. A source tells The Wall Street Journal that the Federal Trade Commission will be reviewing the roughly $75 billion deal to decide whether it would substantially lessen competition in the gaming industry. The review comes as FTC Chair Lina Khan has increased the regulator's scrutiny of deals since taking office, and she's been a critic of big tech acquisitions in the past. A Microsoft representative declined to comment. Activision didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Google's parent company Alphabet posted another quarter of strong sales growth, with profits nearly doubling despite mounting regulatory pressure threatening its future. Alphabet reported fourth quarter revenue of $75 billion, a 32% increase from last year. Profit last quarter also rose by a third. As part of its earnings report, the company said it would do a 20-for-1 stock split. That's something other tech giants, including Tesla and Apple, have done in recent years. Alphabet's results were the first in a series of tech earnings out this week. Facebook parent Meta reports this afternoon, and Snap is on Thursday. And when you think about blockchain, you might not think about food. But the Food and Drug Administration is working on a rule that could lead to the adoption of blockchain technology in the food supply chain. The proposed rule, which could be completed in November, would require food companies to maintain records for critical steps like growing, receiving, and shipping food products. The rule wouldn't require companies to keep electronic records, but it's believed many businesses would turn to digital systems like blockchain, which can be used to track transactions. Our reporter Shuman Bhattacharya says food companies have been looking for a business case to invest in this kind of tech.
It's an easier way to make sure that all the different parties that are part of the network have access to the information when they need it, and it's in one shared place, and the information can't easily be edited or changed. So that ensures that they have one shared record or one single source of truth to draw on for understanding, for example, you know, what was the origin of a food recall? What was the origin of any kind of problems or hiccups in the food system?
All right, coming up, who decides if a digital asset is a commodity or a security? And when do they have to make that decision? Those are the questions at the heart of a lawsuit that could shake up the crypto space. We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B. Curious to know how Merkle B2B can connect you with the right audience? It's not magic. It's the integration of data, technology, and creativity. Discover more at MerkleB2B.com.
Cryptocurrencies are something of an odd duck. Because they're decentralized and often don't operate like traditional financial instruments, it can be hard to regulate them, or even pin down exactly what type of asset they are. But over the last few years, the Securities and Exchange Commission has taken a stab at this. In 2017, it said many companies selling cryptocurrencies should follow laws that were written to protect investors from fraud and misleading hype. Since then, it's brought enforcement action against 56 issuers of digital tokens, according to Cornerstone Research. Almost all of those were settled out of court. But one case the SEC brought against crypto startup Ripple Labs is headed to trial. And the outcome could have a big impact on how digital currencies are traded and regulated. Joining us to discuss this is Dave Michaels, who covers financial enforcement for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's start with some specifics in this case, because it's a little tricky. What is the SEC accusing Ripple of?
The SEC has accused Ripple of illegally selling a cryptocurrency over the course of about 6 or 7 years. The cryptocurrency is called XRP, and Ripple sold almost $1.4 billion worth of XRP. The SEC has also sued two executives who work at Ripple. And essentially, the argument is that Ripple violated laws that are meant to protect investors by not treating XRP as what's known as a security.
And what has Ripple's response been here?
Well, fundamentally, they say that XRP is not a security. It's not the kind of investment that the SEC regulates. It's just the asset is just fundamentally different than a stock or a bond or something like that. They also say that the SEC has been kind of stingy with information about what kinds of crypto assets fall under its jurisdiction. So that is part of what Ripple calls its fair notice defense. Like, it didn't have fair notice how the laws apply to XRP. And then one other fact that's interesting is that Ripple was selling XRP as early as 2013 and 2014. So some of the conduct here that is alleged to have been illegal predates the sort of public notice that the SEC gave the market about how it would regulate these assets, which is interesting. It's a fact that is not found in a lot of the other crypto cases.
We use the term digital currency or cryptocurrency a lot for this industry as kind of this blanket term. But, you know, how does XRP, Ripple's currency in particular, fit into the broader ecosystem and the debate about regulation?
Well, that's a good question. It's sort of like one of the biggest tests of whether cryptocurrencies can be truly something more akin to digital money. So I think a lot of people know that Bitcoin is viewed as digital money or digital gold, and the federal regulators do not regard Bitcoin as a type of investment that you would need to follow federal rules when you buy it and sell it. But there are so many other cryptocurrencies, hundreds and thousands, whose legal status is not as clear as Bitcoin's. And there's a whole analysis that a creator of cryptocurrency needs to do on the front end to make an informed judgment about whether that asset is the kind of thing that the SEC would regulate or is closer to something like what Bitcoin is, which is really a commodity, which is mostly exempt from federal regulations.
It sort of sounds like you're saying it's up to the creator of the digital asset to decide whether they think it's a currency or a security.
Well, it is. When you sell something in the United States, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're using it to raise money for your business, you have a responsibility to analyze, like, what regulations do I have to comply with? And some in crypto say that you should just be able to go to the SEC and get a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Like, the SEC should just tell you, like, is this a security or not? And that's a good question if it should work that way. But I think what we've learned over the last few years is it doesn't always work that way. And the SEC expects you to have lawyers to help you think through what you're doing and whether you need to comply with investor protection rules.
All right. So where are we now with the case? And what might the broader implications be when we finally do get a decision?
Well, we are still in sort of some of the procedural back and forth where Ripple is really trying to slim or negate the SEC's case. And I should say that the individuals who've been sued, two executives at Ripple, are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get the judge to dismiss the case on legal grounds. We have some more hurdles like that to get over before we get to a trial, which is probably sometime in 2023. But this case in the crypto world has been very closely followed. So a lot of these procedural decisions, orders that the judge makes about discovery requests or other fights, motions to dismiss, for instance, these are very closely followed and worth following to understand what the scope of this litigation is eventually going to be when it gets to trial.
this is one company and one case, but how much of an enforcer has the SEC been within the crypto space so far?
Major, much more so than any other federal regulator. You know, they have been, I don't know if the officials would ever say this, but like they've been making the case that they are the regulator, that there really is no substitute for the SEC when it comes to investor protection. And Ripple is, you know, their biggest legal adversary, biggest legal test so far in this world, because they mounted a very, very big legal fight. And XRP was once the world's third largest cryptocurrency. So this is no small matter, small litigation for the SEC. They lose, they, you know, I think regulators really have to look in the mirror and ask how far they can take this model of enforcement that they've been using, which frankly has worked, you know, quite successfully so far.
You know, a lot of cryptocurrency companies and their supporters have called for Congress to write new regulation. The financial rules that we have now date back, you know, a lot of them to the 1930s. But I imagine if we do get new rules that they're going to have some opinions about what those should be like. What kinds of things would they be after if those are created?
I think fundamentally the industry often disagrees with the notion that the SEC is the right regulator, at least because they say the rules that the SEC applies don't fit this industry, right? These rules that the SEC applies and enforces were written for the securities markets, which involve a whole bunch of types of actors or businesses that kind of exist in crypto, but sometimes don't exist, right? Like, or they do something different in crypto. The world of crypto doesn't map perfectly onto the securities world. And so, you know, I think fundamentally the industry wants Congress to recognize that and to tell the SEC either write some very customized rules or alternatively wants Congress to write a totally new legislative framework for cryptocurrencies and digital assets, which might not be enforced by the SEC at all, but might be enforced by a different federal agency, such as the agency that regulates the world of futures and derivatives.
All right. That was our reporter, Dave Michaels. Thanks so much for joining us, Dave.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.